It's good to be back with you again this evening. We enjoyed our time together this morning and the fellowship in the gospel, and it was great to be with you for that, and also for the fellowship of the Rose, and for a new friend in young Leo, who was teaching me American phrases, which was good, about the parking lot for his cars and the locomotive for the train and all things foreign to a Scotsman. But it's good to be with you, and we trust this evening that as we look at God's word together, I would like to look at things from a practical aspect, and I trust that God will continue to challenge us this evening as we consider his word together. We just commend ourselves to the Lord in prayer before we look at his word. Father, we give you thanks for what we have read this evening, and we would ask if your prayer would be that we might not only this evening be hearers of the word, but doers of the same. Father, it's easy to look at those things and to read them, and we do not want, Father, in your word, for familiarity to breed contempt, but we would ask of you that the power of your word, by your gracious Holy Spirit, might impact upon our hearts and upon our lives as we go forward on our way heavenward and homeward. We would ask of you, Father, that our walk as Christians might indeed be something that reflects Christ to those that we come in contact with in our daily life. So bless our time together, Father, and we would ask of you that as we leave this place, that each one of us might be able to say of a truth that it was good for us to have been here. So bless us, we would ask of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this evening I would like, very simply on a practical note, to look at the subject of sanctification. Now, I'm sure if I went round the room this evening and if we had a board up here, I would get many different ideas as to what sanctification actually means. But J.C. Ryle, the Bishop of Liverpool, who some of you might know of or might not know, but you'll know of his writings, and his definition of sanctification was this, that it is separated unto God for God. And I think that's an excellent definition for us this evening to keep before us as Christians, that we are separated unto God for God's glory. Because you see, we're all part of this bride that is being prepared for the bridegroom. We're here in this room together tonight, but we're a small part of that great family that is being prepared throughout the world. From every tribe and every nation, God is gathering together a people to be the bride of Christ. And what a position is ours this evening, that we are sons and daughters by adoption of the living God of heaven. And that should really, we should be in awe and reverence this evening as we think of this position that we have as sons and daughters of the living God. As we know well in the chapters that are before us here, that went before chapter 12, that Paul has been expounding to the Roman believers there the great doctrines of the gospel. And this evening it should thrill our hearts that we are part of that. The great truths of election, of predestination, of foreknowledge, of being chosen in God before the foundation of the world. All these things should thrill our hearts and at the same time humble us before a holy God this evening. To think that from the myriads of population that have been born into this world, that God has chosen you and me. That's amazing, isn't it? That before we were conceived, before we were born, that God has chosen us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And surely that should humble us this evening. Why has God chosen us? There's nothing in us that merits God's favour, is there? Because Paul said earlier in Romans that we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. That our righteousnesses are like filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. And it's only by the grace of God that you and I are here this evening. Nothing that we have done, nothing of ourselves we bring, the hymn writer said, simply to thy cross I cling. And what a place for us to start this evening as believers, to be focused upon the cross of the Lord Jesus and what he's done for us. And this is what Paul was trying to impress upon those Roman believers here as he had taken them through those profound doctrines of the gospel. And now Paul is getting to them. And look what he says here in verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And here's Paul this evening. You think of Paul, the heart that Paul had. He was a Paul that could be direct. He could take route one, so to speak, and he could be firm in the way he was talking to people. But here he was, this word beseech. In the New Testament, it's the same word that Paul used in Philemon when he was talking about Onesimus, and he said there in verse 9 of Philemon, for love's sake, I beseech you. And that is where we're coming from this evening, isn't it? In this matter of sanctification, as our brother was saying, it's not something that should be erroneous or should be difficult or should be hard for us to accept, but the result of what God has done for us, surely it's something that we should be able to take on board this evening. And this challenges me on a daily basis. Remember the missionary to India, C.T. Studd, and in his biography he writes, since Jesus Christ died for me, then no sacrifice I can ever make for him can be too great. And I wonder this evening, and I challenge my own heart, is that the attitude that we have as Christians this evening? Since Jesus Christ died for me, that's a fact, isn't it? John wrote in his gospel that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that encompasses each one of us here in this room, each one in Bury St Edmunds, and indeed in the whole world this evening. So therefore, what right have we got, since Jesus Christ died for our sins, what right have we got to do anything else than to present our bodies as living sacrifices for him? And this evening, I want to challenge each one of our hearts this evening. Is this where we are before a holy and a righteous God? Is it where we are as Christians this evening, that because of what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, are we willing to give back to him something in return for what he has done for us? And sadly, as we look today at Christendom, as we look at our churches, we look at the smallness of the numbers and we can bemoan and say, you know, we're living in the last days and all this. But I wonder if we looked in the mirror and if we were really living in the light of what C.T. Studd said, then I'm sure we would be in a different Britain. Remember in the early Acts, we read there, don't we, in Acts chapter 2, as Luke was writing that, he says that the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. And as we look around the churches today, we see falling numbers. Go back up to Scotland and you drive round there and you go to villages that you went to and there's halls shut. There's churches being turned into houses. And we seem to be sitting, slumbering and sleeping while the enemy is making headroads. But really, it's got to start this evening with us. We should be willing this evening to do whatever God commands us as a result of what God did for us. We were thinking this morning, weren't we, about the awfulness of passing from time into eternity without knowing the Lord Jesus as Saviour. You and I have been plucked as brands from the burning. Our feet have been set upon a rock. A new song's been put in our mouths. Praise to our God. And what are we giving God back as a result of what he has done for us? And the message of Paul comes clearly this evening. He's speaking in love towards those Christians there in the church at Rome. He says, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God. And look what God in his mercy has done for us. He's plucked us, hasn't he, as brands from the burning. And instead of a fearful looking forward to of judgment, we've got the assurance of spending eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus. And that should thrill our hearts, hasn't it? And sadly, sometimes as Christians, we think, well, we're saved, and that's true. Salvation, if it's been a reality in your life, nobody can ever pluck us, the Bible tells us, from God's hand. But how are we living as Christians this evening? Are we happy to accept it? And the old hymn writer said, shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? And I wonder if that's where we are this evening. Are we looking to be carried into heaven? Are we sitting waiting on the Lord's coming and sitting slothfully waiting to be taken into heaven? And he says that by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And this word present is another interesting word. I'm not a great Greek scholar, but understand a little of the New Testament. And it says this word present is something that takes effort. It's not something that we're going to fall into. And I've never been in the military, and I don't think there's any military people here tonight that can correct me. But when you watch the soldiers and military, when they're presenting arms, it's something that's done. It takes effort to do it, isn't it? They're not standing slothfully, but when they're presenting arms, they're coming to attention. It's something that's going to take effort. If we are willing to present our bodies as living sacrifices, it's something that's going to take effort from us as Christians to accomplish. And people that have ever accomplished anything for our God, it takes an effort. First of all, it's getting close to Christ in your personal life. And could I challenge each one of us? What do we give to God on a daily basis in our personal life? George Ferwer, who you might be aware of, who run Operation Mobilisation, and he says, one of the problems amongst evangelical Christians today is this, that so many of us give God the fag ends of our life. And if you think of that this evening, isn't that what we do? We snatch perhaps 5 minutes before we go to sleep at night. Is that a quiet time that we spend with the Lord? You know, we wouldn't do that, would we? At work, we give of our best. And surely this evening, as a result of what God has done for us, we should have a time within our lives each day, regardless of the busyness of life, to go into the quiet place with God and to commune with him, to listen to his voice, to read his word, and to learn to grow as Christians. And for me, this is where the first presentation of our bodies as living sacrifice starts as Christians. And I speak to my own heart as well. How many hours do we waste in a day? God has given us 24 hours in a day. And we say, we've not got time for this. I've not got time for that. We're leading busy lives. But surely we've got to get the priorities right in our lives if we are going to present ourselves to God as living sacrifices. And it's so easy, isn't it? We can look at other people. We can be like the two men that went up to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee could look at the chap that was going with him and he could thank God it was not as him. But I wonder this evening, how much time do we waste as Christians in a day? It's something to think about, isn't it? You know, our employer expects us to be there at 9 a.m. till 5 p.m, which is correct. And as Christians, we should have a good testimony at work. We should be there, good timekeepers, willing to give of our best. But what about the God of heaven? What do we give to him on a daily basis? And I challenge my own heart as well. I love sport, and when I was younger and fitter, I used to enjoy playing it. But these things, I'm not saying they're wrong, but surely we've got to get our lives into perspective this evening. And we're happy, aren't we, to say that we're Christians, but what are we giving God back in our lives? And look what he goes on to say. He says, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's nothing extra, isn't it? It should just be the norm in our lives that we are willing to give our best to God. And then he goes on in verse 2, and this is a verse that challenges me on a daily basis. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And remember that Paul here, be under no illusion, he's writing here to Christians. If you stop and think about that this evening, yes, we often talk to the unsaved and we quote them from Corinthians and say that if any be in Christ or a new creation, old things have passed away, all things have become new. And I'm sure in the audience this evening, we can look back, can't we, some of us, over many years on the Christian pathway. Is our salvation as real to us today as it was 5, 10, 15, 20 or more years ago? Does it still give us the same thrill to think of what Christ did for us at Calvary? Are we being conformed to the world? And I fear as Christians today that we are being blurred. There's a blurring, isn't there, of the ways from us as Christians. We don't want to be different. We don't want to be the odd person out. But it's coming here as a clear command from Paul. If we want this evening to present our bodies things that are useful, that clay that's useful in the hands of the master potter, then here Paul is saying, be not conformed, but be transformed. And sadly, today, as we move around the country, you go to different places and there's a blurring, isn't there, of the divide between the Christians and non-Christians. And be under no illusion this evening, Christian friend, that the cross divides society. What the Lord Jesus did there at Calvary, there's those this evening, there's those that are sinners, and there's those this evening, praise God, that are sinners saved by grace. And the cross will divide. The Bible tells us, doesn't it, that daily we have to take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus. And sadly, our consciences are blurred too, aren't they? If we are spending little time reading God's word, communicating with God and praying to him and waiting on his will, if that time is diminishing, then we are being blurred as Christians this evening. It's simple, isn't it? One has said, the man that you feed the most will be the one that grows the most within your hearts and within your lives. And today, more than ever, the society that we live in, I wonder, are we renewing our minds? We think of the internet, the ravages that that has caused in the world today. People can be looking at things on the internet and they think that nobody sees it, and they're filling their minds with things that are of the most horrific images, different things, and they think they're doing it in secret. And sadly, Christians too can easily become involved in the same thing. And could I challenge us this evening? Are we those that are living not conformed to the world, but are we being transformed by the renewing of our mind, not by filling it with filth and different things? Because you see, we have an omniscient God. We have an all-knowing God, an all-seeing God that knows the depths of a man's heart. We can perhaps think we do things in secret. They're perhaps hid from our nearest and dearest, from family and friends. But one day, at the judgment seat of heaven, we will have to give account of how we spent of our lives, what we've looked at, how we've spent our time. All those things we will have to give account before the God of heaven as Christians at the judgment seat. And it's solemn this evening, isn't it, what Paul's asking us to do, to present our bodies, to be not conformed, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how are we going to renew our minds this evening? And could I suggest, first of all, it's by reading the Holy Word of God. It's by communicating with the God in heaven. He's never closed 24/7. God is there to listen to the prayers of his people. And it's also by the association that we keep. Where do we seek our friends? Where do we go for entertainment? Where do we go for enjoyment? Are we seeking out those that we know, that know and love the Lord Jesus? Or are we going along with those that are in the world? We want to be conformed, don't we? But here Paul is exhorting the Christians, if we're ever going to be anything for our Lord Jesus here while we're on earth, then we've got to be transformed as Christians. We've got to be revitalised as Christians. If we're living slothfully, remember in Haggai's day, the people there, they were living in their sealed houses. They were looking after themselves. And the Lord's house was lying in waste. But then the word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet, didn't it? And we read there that all the people, they went together. They went up to the mountains to hew wood. That's something that would take effort. And they built the house of the Lord. And the Lord said at the end of chapter 1 of Haggai, he said that the Lord took delight in what his people had done. And I wonder today, as the Lord looks down here on us in Bury St Edmunds or in Littleport or Cambridge or wherever we come from, I wonder if the God of heaven is taking delight in what we are doing. Or are we living in our sealed houses? Are we just going on through the motion of things? Or are we really presenting our bodies as living sacrifices before the Lord? And again he says, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this evening, that's what God wants for us. He wants us to go from strength to strength as Christians. Those of us who have families this evening, if our families never grew from the baby stage, we'd be seriously concerned, wouldn't we, if we didn't see any growth in them, if they were still in their mother's arms 5, 10, 15 years on the way, we would have serious concerns and would be upset. But I wonder if those of us who are in leadership this evening in churches, if the people that God has given us to look after, to help on their Christian experience, are we concerned for those that are still, so to speak, at the baby stage in their Christian life? Are we willing to get alongside them, to help them, to help them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? And then we'll go on and do great things together for our God. It lies heavily on my heart what I'm saying this evening. It doesn't come easy, because I look at myself too and wonder where we are in the sight of a holy God. How will I fare at the judgment seat of Christ? Will I have presented my body as a living sacrifice and hear those words, "Welcome, good and faithful servant"? Because you see, that's what we should be working for this evening, isn't it? The things of earth are transient. They're but for a season. They pass away. But tonight, are you laying up treasure in the banks of heaven, as we used to sing with the children years ago, where no thieves can steal them away? There you'll find them safely waiting for you when you get to heaven someday. And I trust that what we've said in these few minutes this evening might indeed challenge our hearts inspire us. Let us look at ourselves, because revival, we're often saying we want revival, and as Matthew was telling us a few weeks ago, that revival starts with ourselves. It starts with where we are before a holy and a righteous God. And I would suggest this evening a good starting point. If we want to see great exploits done for God here in the United Kingdom, then it's got to start with us. With those words of Paul, those loving, beseeching, those tender words that he uses, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So tomorrow morning, when we go back into the world, let's think of those words of Paul, that we should be constantly not conforming, but transforming our lives, transforming our minds, and then I'm sure we'll go on and do great exploits for our God. Shall we pray? Father, we ask of you that you'll ask each one of us this evening to examine our hearts and our lives in light of Scripture this evening. Father, what a privilege we have, what a relationship we have with you, that we are part of this great multitude that you're gathering from every tribe and every nation to be a bride for your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we'd ask of you that you'd help us to always live in view of the judgment seat of Christ, that you'd help us, each one individually and collectively, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God. Father, we'd ask of you that you'd help us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in Christ Jesus, and filling our hearts and minds with those things that are above. And you would help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. And Father, we'd ask of you above all that we might be fit vessels, vessels that would be of use in the Master's business, in light of the joy, like those in Haggai, of building something for the Lord, and that you can take pleasure in it. So we ask of you to bless us, continue to encourage us, continue to challenge us as your people this evening, as we give thanks again for the Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.